Welcome to Expound, our verse-by-verse study of God's Word. Our goal is to expand your knowledge of the truth of God by explaining the Word of God in a way that is interactive, enjoyable, and congregational.
Well, we're here to take the Lord's Supper. We're going to pass that out in a moment. But there's a few words I want to share with you before we do. We've been in the book of Deuteronomy, as you know. And do you remember what Deuteronomy means? Do you remember what the word means? Anybody at all? Shout it out if you remember it. Second law. It means the second law. Deutero, number two, or second. Namion, law. So Deuteronomy means the second law, not that it's another law, not that it's a repetition of the law, but it's a recap. It's the highlights of the law that Moses gives to the second generation. The first generation died in the wilderness. The second generation, who used to be kids, they have grown up. And Moses wants to charge them, to remind them of all of God's work, all of God's commands before they enter into the promised land. Deuteronomy, we have discovered, is important. It's important. Jesus thought it was important. He quoted from that book more than any single book in the Old Testament. And he quoted from Psalms, he quoted from Isaiah, but he quoted from Deuteronomy more than any other book. So it's very, very important. And it's a perfect book to segue into what we're going to do now, and that is take the Lord's Supper. And here's why it's important. Here's why it's a perfect segue. The theme of this book of Deuteronomy is don't forget. Don't forget who God is. Don't forget what God has done. Don't forget what God is going to do. Don't forget. Remember. Seven times in the book of Deuteronomy is this commandment, and you shall remember. Also, in chapter 4, twice, God says, don't forget. Don't forget. Let me read one verse. In verse 9, the Lord says through Moses, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. And teach them to your children and to your grandchildren. A few verses later, in verse 23, take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you. So if the theme of the book of Deuteronomy is remember, 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 it's a perfect book to segue into communion. Because what did Jesus say to his disciples the night he broke bread and gave them wine? Do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget. Don't forget. Remember what I've done. Remember who you are. Remember this moment. So like the theme of the book of Deuteronomy, so is the theme of the Lord's Supper. Remember. Remember. You have a memory. I don't know how good it is, but you have a memory. Your memory is your capacity to encode, to store, to retain, and to recall information. Again, I don't know how good it is, but you have the capacity. All of us do. I've been told, I've read, that your mind remembers absolutely everything you've seen and heard and experienced. The problem is always recall. Oh, it's there somewhere. It's encoded somewhere. But how do you call it out of storage and put it into the RAM drive? How do you take it as usable information? That's always the problem, right? So I've been told that your brain, well, let me just put it this way. You have in your head a brain that has 100 billion cells, neurons. It has storage capacity. You want to know how much? Do you have a television with like a TiVo or a DVR where you can record television shows? You would have to let that drive run continually, recording for 300 straight years nonstop to equal the storage capacity in your brain. As fascinating as that is, the human mind in short-term memory can only grab a hold of about 7 items at a time. Isn't that interesting? You have enormous capacity for storage, but when it comes to immediate information, short-term memory, you can only handle about 7 things. I'll tell you what, it's a good thing that telephone numbers have only 7 digits. Because we'd be so lost if there were 8. Call 1-800, then there's 7 digits. Okay, I can hang with that. Something else I found out. Any left-handed people tonight? Raise your hand. Raise your left hand. Go ahead. Good. You have better memory than us right-handed folks. That's what I've been told. That's what I've read. Yeah, go ahead and give your... Oh, it is true. It's said by a left-handed person out loud. Now, why is memory so important? Well, because memory really does define you. It represents you. If you don't have memory, you lose your sense of reference. If you don't have a memory, you will lose touch with who you are and where you've come from and who brought you this far. It's a marker of your reality. Anybody who has a family member who has suffered Alzheimer's disease knows this truth. Where that person, who that person is, gets lost because they lose the reference markers of people they once knew and places they once remembered. And everything that was familiar is totally unfamiliar. So our memories are so important. So Jesus wants his disciples, his followers, to remember this. Do this. Take this bread. Take this wine. Take these elements and remember me, just like the children of Israel remembered in the Old Testament their Passover. Just like they were to remember the blood that was put on the door jams and the headers, or the lintels and doorposts, as the older versions say. You remember that time. You remember that deliverance. Jesus would say, you too must recall and deliberately remember these things. I've always found it interesting that of all of the things Jesus said to remember him by, he didn't say, erect for me a giant mausoleum out of pure white marble where I had my resting place, where I was buried. In fact, if you go to Israel today, it's hard to find the exact place where he was buried. That has been under dispute for a long time. We don't even really know. Jesus never told his disciples, put up a large column made out of stone and put gold on it where I gave the Sermon on the Mount. He didn't do that. He said, here's how I want you to remember me. Share a meal together. Take these common elements together. And when you do that, you will remember what I have done for you, just like the children of Israel took a Passover meal and remembered how God delivered them, where they have been coming from and what they've been through. Do this in remembrance of me. And then Jesus said to do it when? When did he say? He said do it often. Now, he didn't say how often. Some people take it every day. Some people do it once a week. Some people do it once a month. I take it once a week, as well as once a month with y'all. But Jesus said do it often. In other words, regularly take time out of your life where you deliberately push aside everything else and focus on this. That's what it means to remember. Deliberately push aside all the other stuff in your life. Stop doing all the stuff you do just for a moment. Stop your texting and stop your tweeting and stop your worrying and stop your wondering and stop your planning and stop focusing on yourself for a moment and shift your thoughts on this. Remember what I've done. This is all important. Like Deuteronomy, remember, remember, remember. That's so important. As human beings, our most consuming thought is ourself. It's true. We think about ourselves more than we think about anything else. That's one of the fundamental characteristics of being human. Now, some people take this to an extreme and they're just, they're taken with themselves. They're preoccupied with themselves. There's the story in ancient mythology about Narcissus, the mythological god who thought himself so beautiful that he stared at a reflection of himself in a pool and he just was so overcome with admiration for what he saw, he was fixated, he couldn't move, and eventually he drowned in that pool. And so when we say that person is narcissistic, that's what we're referring to, that ancient mythological figure of somebody so focused and so taken with himself and his stuff. And so it becomes important from time to time to set up a marker and say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to think. I'm not going to be consumed with all of the thoughts about me and my plans and my stuff. I'm going to focus and remember what he did for me. In that way, we become spiritually centered. Remember, remember, remember. Before we take the elements, let me give you two reasons why we should remember. Why it's important to do what I just said Jesus said we ought to do. Two reasons. If you fail to remember your past, you will fail to appreciate your present. If you fail to remember your past, you will fail to appreciate your present. That's number one. Number two, if you fail to remember your past, you will fail to anticipate your future. Allow me just a few moments to explain both of those principles. Number one, if you fail to remember the past, you will fail to appreciate the present. I'm going to read what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 to the church at Corinth concerning the Lord's Supper. He said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Again, here's the principle. If you fail to remember the past, you will fail to appreciate the present. Jesus was speaking in the present tense. Do this in the future often, because right now you are enjoying and you will enjoy the covenant relationship that we have together. A lot of times people live in the past. A lot of times people, Christians, look to the past. Oh, I remember when I gave my life to Christ and how on fire I was and how awesome it was. Wonderful. How awesome is it now? Is your relationship with Christ a past tense event or is it a present tense experience? If you're remembering correctly the deliverance from sin, then it's present tense. You don't just have to look back. You don't merely have to look back and go, "Oh, I remember. Yes, I remember. And because I remember, it's real right now. It's a present reality right now." When you gave your life to Christ, it came with some pretty awesome, hefty benefits. You were freed from the penalty of sin. You were freed from the power of sin. The Lord promised to walk with you through all your trials. He said if you trusted Him and sought first His kingdom, everything you would ever need would be added unto you. Those are incredible benefits. And those are the kinds of things that extend into the present. It's not just the past. It's what you are to experience now in the present. Here's something I've noticed, and see if you can relate to this. People that really forget the past, forget the deliverance from sin, forget what it's like to be saved and carry it into the present tense. People who forget that are the complainers. Christians, show me a Christian who is a negative person and who always complains, and I'll show you somebody who has forgotten. They've forgotten. Children of Israel did it in the desert. They're marching through the wilderness and they murmured and they complained. We don't have water when we want it. We don't have the right kind of food. We just get this bread, but I want the quail and I want the onions and I want the menu. Granted, the wilderness was no picnic, but God provided for them. But some of them murmured and some of them complained. Why? Because they forgot. So if we failed to remember the past, we will fail to appreciate the present. Every year at Passover, and from time to time at communion, I'd like to bring this out. During the Passover meal, once a year, the children of Israel, knowing that the past should be experienced in the present, have a little recitation at the Passover meal. Some of you, I think, have heard of it. It's called Dayenu. Has anybody ever heard of it? Dayenu. Dayenu is a Hebrew word that means we would have been satisfied. We would have been satisfied. This is how it goes in part. Let me share it with you. So this is done at Passover. And the host says the first part, and everybody in that room participates by saying, Dayenu, that's enough. We would have been satisfied. This is how it goes. If God, if He, had merely rescued us from Egypt, but had not punished the Egyptians, Dayenu. If He had merely punished the Egyptians, but not destroyed their gods, Dayenu. If He had destroyed their gods, but not slain the firstborn, Dayenu. If He had slain the firstborn, but not given us their property, Dayenu. If He had given us their property, but not split the sea for us, Dayenu. If He had split the sea for us, but had not brought us through on dry ground, Dayenu. If He brought us through on dry ground, but did not drown our oppressors, Dayenu. If He had drowned our oppressors, but not supplied us in the desert for 40 years, Dayenu. If He supplied us 40 years in the desert, but not fed us with manna, Dayenu. If He fed us with manna, but had not given us the Sabbath, Dayenu. If He had given us the Sabbath, but not brought us to Mount Sinai, Dayenu. If He brought us to Mount Sinai, but had not given us the Torah, Dayenu. And if He had given us the Torah, but not brought us to the land of Israel, Dayenu. And as believers, tonight, taking the Lord's Supper, we would add to that and say, Lord, if You had just provided salvation through the death of Your Son and You did nothing else for us, Dayenu, would have been enough. What You've done in the past brings me to the present and I'm satisfied. If You do nothing else for me, the covenant that I'm under, You've taken away my sins, Dayenu. And we're thankful. So if we fail to understand our past, remember our past, we will fail to appreciate our present. Here's the second and the last point I'll make before I give you the elements. If we fail to remember our past, we will fail to anticipate our future. You know that the Lord's Supper isn't just about looking back. Do you know that? Yes, we look back. Yes, we remember. Yes, we consider the cross. Yes, we consider that He was buried. But it does something else. Communion is intended for us to look forward, to look ahead. For Paul says these words in that same text of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For as often as you eat this bread and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death," listen, "until he comes." Tonight we are anticipating the greatest event. The greatest event is that Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming again. This thing isn't over yet. Okay, we have salvation now, but it's going to get a whole lot better than this. He is coming back. And Jesus alluded to this when he was in the upper room with his disciples. And he said, "I will not drink the fruit of this vine ever again until I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Even then, he was looking way into the future and anticipating, it's going to get better. We're going to have a feast together. We're going to have a marriage supper together. Also on that same night, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." All the way along, Jesus was anticipating not just his death, which we are looking back to tonight, but also his coming again, which we are looking ahead to tonight. So if we fail to remember the past, we fail to appreciate the present. If we fail to remember the past, we fail to anticipate the future. C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite authors, said, "Christians who do the most for this world are those who think the most of the next world." I hope you live every day of your life with the thought Jesus could come back before the day's over. He could come back before tomorrow morning even comes. He could return at any moment. Because those are the kind of people that are the movers and shakers and that make a difference in this world. Jesus is coming again. Does that comfort you? It makes a lot of people scared. I remember sharing that with somebody. I said, "Jesus is coming soon." He said, "Uh-oh." I thought, "You mean you can't do any better than that? Uh-oh." For some, it's a comfort. For others, it's a dread. And for others, it's a distraction, unfortunately. For others, it's just not a big deal. I know Christians who don't even believe in studying prophecy. There was a pastor who said, "No, I never preach on prophecy because it distracts people from the present." And somebody overheard him and said, "Well, pastor, there's a lot of distractions then in the Bible." Right? Prophecy's all over the Bible. We should always be anticipating Jesus coming. It's not a distraction. If you think it's a distraction, it's because you have failed to remember as you should. So we appreciate the present, we anticipate the future, because we remember the past the right way. We think back to the day we were saved or the night we were saved. Can you remember what it felt like? Jog your memory for just a moment. Close your eyes for just a moment and remember that day or that evening where Jesus first became really real and you invited him as your Lord and Savior. And you asked him to wash your sins with his precious blood. And you walked away from that encounter with peace, with a burden off of your shoulders, and with great assurance. Think back to that. Get in touch with that. Remember. 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 Beware lest you forget. In a moment, we're going to pass out these elements. I'm going to have the worship team come up. They will lead us in song. They will set the atmosphere the way it ought to be. I'm going to ask you to take the elements. Both of them will be in one little package. And let's wait till we all have them before we take them together. If you're not yet a believer, if you're not sure that you are truly a Christian man or woman, then you need to pray right now at this very moment and ask Jesus into your heart. Because you don't want to take the elements which symbolize that Jesus is real to you unless he's real to you. You don't want to take the elements that speak of an encounter that you've had with Christ unless you've really had one. If you haven't had one, have it now. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know it. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me. I believe that you were sent from heaven to this earth. I believe that you died on a cross for my sin and rose from the grave. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I turn from my past. I turn from my sin. I turn to you as my Savior. Mean that, believe that. And then in a moment, we'll all take the elements. Whether you've been a Christian for 40 years or 40 seconds. Okay, so most of us know how these things work, but in case you don't, you can look and see the clear little covering on top. That's where the bread is housed, and you peel that top away. And then there's another opaque. Mine is purple. Is yours foil? And you pull that back and get to the juice. Be careful when you do it, especially if you're wearing white. Hold it away from you, like not over your neighbor's neck or head, but I mean close enough to not get anybody stained. But we're going to take the elements together, and I'm going to have a couple of people pray. First of all, Kyle Nelson's one of our young pastors on staff. He serves here, and he's going to pray for the bread. And then Vince Harrison, Mr. Security, you don't mess with Vince. He's the head of our security here. He's going to pray for the juice.
Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord, in obedience. We remember what you've done for us, and we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you that we no longer have to be broken, that you've made us whole, and by your stripes we've been healed. So now we take this bread, Lord, in honor and in remembrance of you, and thank you.
Okay, if you guys can peel up your cups, open them up. Father God, we just thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to take this cup. Thank you, Lord, most of all for your Son. Thank you for his stripes. Thank you for his blood. We praise you and we honor you, Lord, with our lives. Help us to glorify you in all that we say, all that we think, and all that we do. In Christ's name, amen.
If you've missed any of our Expound studies, all of our services and resources are available at expoundabq.org.